Welcome to the Raise Up Mindset Podcast with your hosts, Charlie and Athena Grimm.
Welcome back to the Raise Up Mindset Podcast. I'm Athena.
I'm Charlie.
And we are happy to be here today filming our next episode of What's Going On in the Entrepreneurial World. So this is season two
episode three. Right. We got it down pat. All right. Well, good. So Athena, the first question.
You know, this theme for this podcast was basically themed around balance, balancing lifestyle, balancing work style. And, you know, I just don't know that there's really such a thing as balancing all of this. I look at it from my perspective as it's staying in alignment with who you are, because all of this stuff is your life. And so I used to think that, oh yeah, if I'm killing it at work, then it's probably not awesome at home. But the truth that I've come to understand is that when you stay in alignment with actually who you are, then it all is just part of your lifestyle, and you can flow it in a way that it doesn't feel like you have to juggle anything. It is just is. So that's kind of my take on this whole like beginning of like how do we figure this thing out?
And I think, you know, one of the questions that was asked here, this is like, you know, on the road and the balance that we do, the negative work life and leadership without a burnout. So as leaders as we all are, you know, we hit that wall once in a while, and the wall is sometimes, you know, it's a little sooner and a little later than we think it's going to be. And I think there is some burnout, so sometimes it can happen, but I think you can mitigate that problem. I think you can help it. Like, you have to have time off. You have to have time with your family. You have to have time with your wife, your loved one. You have to have time outside the office, and you have to have that recharge time. No different than, you know, you're supposed to at least get 6 hours of sleep for your body to reset. I mean, if you don't have this time, you are going to burn out. And I think we've all learned that if we don't get enough sleep, if we don't eat healthier, if we don't do things to take care of ourselves, that burnout, where I said that wall is a different way, you hit it quicker when you eat shittier, or you don't exercise, or you don't get the amount of prana sleep, because your BS cup is fuller when you start in the morning. But if you do get the healthiness so that you get this, you know, the sleep, the rest, the food you're supposed to eat, the balance of what your life is, the balance with your family, the balance outside of work life, you kind of come back refreshed, and you can take more BS. You can take more things that are coming at you, and you're welcome to do it. And I think we welcome that. And I think as you guys have seen that we leave quite a bit on vacation, we do a lot of stuff, we do it, but we take phone calls. We work from where we're gone, where we're doing it, when we have to, and what's going on too. So again, you know, the question is balancing your work and personal life. Sometimes one isn't different than the other. It's just at different times, what are we doing? We're doing the personal side, or are we doing the work side of it? Because like a little emergency came up today, and we were going to have to switch plans and do this up because like a little minor emergency with 126 people getting stuck today somewhere, and we were going to change the way it was. But again, that's not every day. So when you're saying balance it, I think it's every person has their different balances. And I think we used to tell ourselves all the time, there's no way we can leave and do this. And we have other friends that have been through this, and we've kind of coached them through this. And like, if I'm gone, it's going to go to hell. If it's going to hell and you're gone, your business is already a little bit in trouble. Like you're
there's bigger problems.
There's bigger problems than you just taking off for the weekend. I mean, like, you got to restructure your things and do what it is. But once you figured out that you can get a weekend off, and then you figure out that the third day goes off and you got the right people in the right seats, you'll realize that that was a belief in your head. It wasn't truly in there. And I think I'm a good picture of it. I show up maybe 3 days a week, four if it's really busy, or if it's slammed during the summertime, I have no problem working seven. But we've built ourselves at 25 years now to realize that we have a great staff, and the staff takes care of it. And what they can't take care of, they'll call us. And, you know, and I usually never get upset when anybody calls me. Even if it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, you know, hey, Charlie, we got this problem. Because it's not an everyday thing. It used to be us answering all the questions and making all the answers for everybody, but you got to let them be in their own and take care of some of this stuff.
Yeah. I think my take on it is there is no separation of your life. It's just, these are different segments of your life. So work or your business or what you're doing to support yourself is one segment, and how you show up in that segment bleeds over into the other segments, whether you are aware of how it bleeds or not. And so being in alignment with yourself and how you're operating in each thing that you're participating in your life brings this sense of, I'm not in survival mode. I'm not creating environments for the others that are like making them wonder who's showing up today. Is it the nice person or the mean person? So I think when you're looking at what Charlie described as, well, we just ebb and flow. That's really what it is figuring out what is it that we like to do? What is it that we don't prefer to do? How can we get some help around the things we don't prefer to do so we can constantly come from a place where we are not moving in from survival mode? Because that survival mode is what he was mentioning before, creates all of these, your cup is too full. And now you're reacting in all of these ways that you wouldn't have otherwise reacted if you'd gotten enough sleep, if you'd gotten enough good food to eat, if you were getting body movement, all of those things.
It's all important. Every one of those things is important to the fact that if you don't get those things, you can do it. And you guys know that I've been kind of on a health journey lately and getting myself into better shape and doing things and eating better and doing things. And I can tell you that my cognitives, my athletics, the way I feel, the way I move, everything else made a huge difference. So, and I was that guy who's like, you know, go down and grab a couple of hot dogs from the place and eat it, or grab a bag of chips because it was fast, easy, and convenient. Yeah. We're a little bit more deliberate on the foods, things that we eat now, and it's just more healthier. Definitely more expensive, but it's worth it. We're putting money in ourselves. We have no problem going out and spending $125,000 on an Escalade that we're going to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry drive. But we go ahead and we have a hard time buying $12 worth of organic chicken because we could buy the other chicken for $6. I mean, what are we doing to ourselves?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Put clean fuel, clean stuff into our bodies, and we'll get clean stuff out of it. So.
Absolutely.
Second question, you know, that's another one that people ask us is when work and personal interests cross over. Well, that happens a lot. So for us, my wife is my business partner. My business partner is my wife. So of course that, you know, we work together, we go home together, we sleep together. I mean, we're together on vacations and everything like that. So when you talk about that, what's the successful blend? My wife brings something totally different to the table than I bring to the table on a lot of, on probably 80% of the stuff. I mean, my wife is definitely more the technical person, definitely more the policies, procedures, guidelines, culture, things like that. I'm more of like, I know people. I'm a connector. I process things fairly quickly. I'm a multitasker when it comes to different projects going on at the same time. If there's emergencies or diverts or things like that, my mind thinks of that. I'm always 2, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead. So I like that. I like enjoying having the relationships of buying vehicles, purchasing things, working with the teams. I don't enjoy an office. I don't enjoy paperwork. I don't enjoy emailing. I don't enjoy those things. And the beauty of it is my wife doesn't hate it. So she doesn't mind it. So I'd rather have her do it. And again, the right place, the right time, the right seat, the right chair. You have to be in your place. I used to be the person that almost did all of it besides payroll. I mean, I used to set off all the trips. I used to enter things in computers with the 2-finger stroke. I mean, I was at least a good 3 words per minute typer. But I don't have to do that. It's funny because other people in our group and people talk to us all the time say, Charlie, can't you enter a reservation? I'm like, if we're down to the point I'm entering reservations, we're in deeper trouble than we think. Like, you know, I can take all the information and pass it over, but it's not my strong suit. So why do it? So I again, taking Athena myself as different people, we do different tasks in the company and the job. And, 25 years we've been at this now. And we still don't have it 100%. I mean, there's always room for improvement. You know, we always strive for that improvement, how we can do that. So does it cause conflict sometimes? 100%. And if it didn't, then there wouldn't be an objective. There wouldn't, I guess objective is not the word I'm using. There wouldn't be there's got to be personality differences in some of our Fs that we're just not the yes people on everything. So sometimes it's good to have the objective. Like if I'd had my way, Athena would like, one year I bought like a lot of cars. She's like, slow down on cars. You know, we bought a lot of cars, but we knew that we're aging our fleet out and we had to buy a bunch of vehicles. So understanding the process of why I was buying the vehicle and doing it, explained it to her. Then she understood. She still said, slow down on buying cars, which I did. But there has to be that person that puts the guardrails up for us, because sometimes we don't realize the guardrails are not up. And sometimes your other person's partner or your business partner or your wife or your something has to help you with those, because it's pretty easy to just go with our own ideas.
Yeah. And I think if I'm speaking to how do we shift between business and our personal life, and really it doesn't feel like work. The stuff that I do doesn't feel like I'm burdened with work. It feels like I am enjoying some moments of productivity. I'm around people that I really enjoy hanging out with. There's a lot of great feedback that comes in both directions. And so it doesn't actually feel like work. But the other piece of this is I am conscious of how much time I'm spending at the office. Like, I've decided in this season of my life that I'm moving majority of what's going on at the office within a few days of the week. And then the rest of the time, I'm either working at home in my home office if I am doing work, or I'm not engaged in a lot of the operation piece. And everybody knows their job through our processes and our clear communication. And we've established a team. So I don't feel like I'm doing work. And I felt before, when we were in different seasons, that it was like burdensome work, that it was heavy.
And I agree, you know, not having all the right people in the right places, I mean, definitely puts more of that on us or on the team itself. And then the team feels overburdened, and they did. And listen, this didn't come right away, just to let you know. I mean, like, you're in your second or third year and you're growing and your business is there. It's going to be a little bit more difficult for you when you're in the building stage. And we're always in the building stage. We're just now, we're the finished carpenters, you know. We're just trying to get all this stuff and finished up and get it nice and cleaned up. Put the trim on. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're kind of doing, and letting our team kind of do it. And then we guide them on it. We don't, you know, there's lots of room for improvement for everything, but I feel like we're more guidance, more teachers to try to teach the next generation how to take care of this. But again, guys, it came with time, but start it now. Don't start it 20 years from now, because you know, you have all that time invested, and then your ROI on your own personal time and returns. It took a long time for me to figure that out. When I owned several companies and I didn't take like my first vacation for like 8 or 10 years from the place, and how I can never retain those times back. So you got to enjoy it too.
Well, and thinking back to those seasons when vacation started to become a thing, it takes time to unwind all of that. When you get tuned up really tight, like, you have to think about being a little kind to yourself. I mean, we would have to go for at least 7 days, because it took like 3 or 4 days to just relax.
It took a couple of days to unwind, and then all of a sudden, Athena's like, let's go to Hawaii for 3 days. I'm like, 3 days? I mean, the third day, I'm just now getting where I want to sit on the beach and get unspun. But now we can look at a 3 or 4 day one and go in, and we don't get spun up. I always like the 7 days, but anyways, I can do with the 3 or 4, and it'll set a reset button. It'll give you a little refresher just to get some, especially in the wintertime when it's super cold, it'll give you that little reset button where you can get a little vitamin D and get out and sit, put your feet in the sand and get in the ocean or get in the pool.
Yeah,
so, I agree.
What I'm getting at though is this is a process. When you have been in the grind, there's this kind of unraveling that happens when you're ready to start. Okay, I'm ready to start trusting my team with some things. I'm ready to start delegating, letting go of some things. We've got some solid processes in place. And so it's like, yeah, I'm noticing that it takes me 3 days to unwind. So maybe I'm going to go for 5 days this time. And it starts to shift. It does. But it's also reminding yourself that, hey, we're all in process. Just like Charlie mentioned, we're all in process.
The only thing I can compare this to, and I'm always a analogy from one thing to another one, how I can compare things to, it's like your children. And I'm not saying our team is like our children, but the process is like your children. When you first time you left your kid home alone so you can go out to dinner, I mean, you were checking the cameras, you were doing all this to make sure the house was going to burn down, you were checking with them. But then after the process went fairly well, then you're like, well, we could leave for a couple hours.
We could trust them to be on their own.
And then, you know, that first overnight, you're kind of a little sweating it out, you know. But it's anything like that, looking like as they start to grow, you'll start to grow, and you'll start to trust more, and you'll start to be able to do more. And the only way I can say that is if you have kids and you've been through the adolescent years, all the way through the teenage years, through their 20s and 30s, like we have some, our yes. son's 31, our oldest is, and then we have some teenagers too. It's a process to get from point A to point B. You didn't do it overnight. So
no.
That's the only way. If you're starting your business and doing it and how you can do it, that's a great analogy if you already have kids.
Yeah, and I think that's some great advice for you to just start. Start on the small trips. If you know, hey, I know I need to let go, then just take the first step. And be prepared for some unintended outcomes. They don't have to be the sky is falling. It's really, it's a learning opportunity to debrief with your team or whoever you've left in charge to say, hey, okay, so how can we keep this just an isolated incident and not a repeat? And break it down and give them the opportunity. Most of the time, they're going to learn on their own. They're going to be like, whoa, this happened. I know what I'm going to do next time. And it's like, okay, we can move on from there.
And remember, some of those outcomes wouldn't have mattered if you were there or not. They were going to happen.
Exactly. So, that is key.
That's the
you
key.
You couldn't have fixed it even if you were there.
If somebody was in a car accident and they got hit down the highway, if you were at the office or not, what would you have done differently? I mean, that's you can't. You can't unpredict the accident. So, again, the process and procedures are how you do after the accident, what happens to it. So, just a words of what we've had to deal
yes.
with from everything from the last 25 years with BAC and our other companies that we've had, that we've learned that there is a path of being able to have a life outside your office.
You know, and for some people who are single and they don't have a business partner and they don't have a partner that they're currently with, there's nothing wrong with this being your zone. It's just reminding yourself of, hey, am I doing the things that I prefer so that this doesn't feel like work? Because if you're always in it and you love it and you're having a great time, have a great time with it. But just remind yourself, the moment that it starts to become work, notice that so that you can make sure that that doesn't become a pattern that eventually leads you to burnout. Because the point is that we're serving our communities, our customers, our team from a place of overflow. And when you start to move into sacrifice, that's when everything starts to go sideways.
Key advice.
So what do we got for the next question?
The role of passion in leadership.
The role of passion. That sounds interesting. Why don't you go ahead with that one?
So what do you like to do outside your work? I mean, like, I know for so long I was so consumed with just work that I would come home and want to eat and sleep and go to bed and repeat and do again and repeat and redo again, you know? So what do you like to do outside your leadership? I love my lake house. I love my wake boat. I love my pontoon, but I'm more into jet ski, and I've now we got a pool table now. So I've enjoyed playing pool. It just other passions you have outside. We love to travel. That's one of the things we like to do. We like to experiment with new food when we travel. You know, there's so many different things that you guys get to experiment and see that you have to find a passion in it. And if you don't, I mean, then again, we're just repeat. And so I guess more of my passion would be like, when it hit, it's beautiful outside. I came home last night, and I was there for a little bit by myself before Athena got home, and I sat on the deck, and the sun was like 75 degrees, and I was on my new deck, and I'm watching the boats go by, and I'm listening to the sound of jet skis, and it was just like, it was like this white noise in the back that was going on the back of my head, and I was out. It was nice. It was comfortable. It was there. The dog was laying by my side. It was peaceful. It was bliss. I mean, it was pretty cool. And then, you know, and after that kind of ticked forward, then it was time to make food for the kids and stuff like that. But, you know, we have this like new environment that we're in that's like super cool. Like, you know, we've been cooking for the kids almost every night, you know, but we used to go out to eat two or three times a week. So it just, because we'd come back and we'd be so tired. And I call it rinse and repeat, doing the same thing over and over again. So having some of those passions to do some different things outside the box. I'm not a big painter. I'm not a big person that likes to do that, but I do like to get together with friends. I love to go sit at people's houses and compare notes and things. It is other business partners that we have on the lake that we mastermind. We go see other people's houses being built. It's kind of like a, it's like a collaborative of a people on the, yes, the lakes that everybody kind of gets together. And we have a friend that's building a new house, and we're going over his place and looking at things and redesigning it because we just built a house. So there is what I like to do when I'm off time. I like to take rides. I like to get my truck. I like the sun. I like, you know, that's kind of things that kind of resets my clock.
You know, when I think of the role of passion within our life period, I look at what are the things that light me up? What are the things that I really find enjoyment in? Amusement. Amusement is big for me. I'm someone who loves variety. I like all kinds of interesting things that are happening. And I am that person that is willing to just go off and go do something different without a plan. Charlie and I take most of our trips. We don't usually have a solid plan on where we're going to stay the whole time, or we'll go to a foreign country and we'll book the first two nights, and then the rest of it's like wherever the wind takes us. Some people, they look at that and go, there's no way I could operate on that. It's too unpredictable. And it's like, it's a process. We didn't always used to be like that.
Well, and I look at that as, I think we kind of were, but in a different way. Like, we would look for those gaps to be able to entry in our businesses because we believed that we couldn't. So it was the last minute thinking like, okay, we got this next 24 hours. What are we going to go do? We're going to go take off and go do this. Like, It was so unpredictable because of weather or whatever else was going on that I think we just kind of conditioned ourselves that we were going to take the opportunity when we could. And then when it wasn't there, we're going to go and we're going to work it anyways. And so for us, it's normal. Like, you know, like we run them this normal balance. That's not like everybody else's things. And the thing is, right, like we have friends that plan out to the half an hour what they're doing throughout the trip. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like work. You know,
yes,
I'm like,
it does.
You got yourself on a schedule on your vacation. Like, What's your guys' plans? It's nice out. We're going to sit by the pool. If it's that good, we're going to go over here and check this out. We're going to go see this museum. We're going to go see this artsy fartsy thing. But I'm not going to be on the schedule. I don't even like to be on schedule at work, you know, more or less sit and go on vacation than be on schedule. And we do. We go to weddings. Those are scheduled. I mean, you can't just have a wedding in the middle of, I mean, we're not in Vegas, but I mean, there's scheduled events that we go to and things there is, but we kind of like, you know, we just kind of book some place. And, you know, when we start going over to Thailand or other places we've booked, we kind of booked the first time. We didn't know what we were booking. And then I was like, well, we booked this one room for a couple nights. I'm like, well, this is not so great. So we look for another place that next day. Like, we got out of there. But now we kind of look for a little bit higher up rooms that are 4 stars or better because we don't want to have a surprise, you know? I mean, we want to be comfortable where we go. Yeah. So I hope that kind of answers your question, you know, our passion in leadership. I mean, the other passion is building up other people to take our place in leadership. I mean, again, why we're doing this podcast, we make $0 on this. We make zero money on it. But there was people in leadership and people that helped us get to our next points in our time. And one of the things that we want to do and raise up is raise other people up too. So we're giving you our best advice that we have over 35, 40 years of owning businesses and being together and really going some rocky times to where we're at now, which is our better times. And so let you know that there is a pathway outside this.
And I think that's really what this is if we were going to share some information with our younger selves way back in the day, something that we've learned after all these years in business, that's what this information is it's just sharing what we've learned. And if you can do something with it, great. If it's something that you're just not ready for right now, no problem. But that's really the heart of this information exchange, is to make a difference in someone else's life. So maybe it's not as traumatic, or it's not as, it's something that we now have all of this great technology so we can share it with the world. And if I could give you one key piece of all of this that we've been talking about with our passion, with how we move through our work and our home life. It's figure out what it is that you prefer to do in your business. And sometimes you have to start with, what do I absolutely don't want to do? Because for some reason, humans gravitate towards what they don't like and complain about it, but they almost never know what they do want. And so take the time to write that down. Figure out what it is that you don't prefer. And then the opposite of that list is going to guide you to what you do prefer. And then start taking steps to just be focusing on the things that are lighting you up, because that is part of the passion here. That's what's going to make this job or this role that you have easy to do every day, or easier to do. It's going to feel less like work. We didn't have anybody explaining this to us, but I think that's where we've landed in our life, is you do what you feel like, what you enjoy. I do what I enjoy, and it works out. And the team around us is what's filling in the gaps.
I agree. I mean, you know, sometimes we have to set ourselves up in balance, like when we think one other person is working too much or not enough or whatever else is going on, we kind of judge each other. I wouldn't say not enough. I just think sometimes we can get stuck in those rabbit holes, and that's what your partner's for, is to pull you out of those rabbit holes. Like, hey, we're on this for 14 hours today. It's beautiful outside. Let's go in the lake. You know, let's go enjoy some time on that. And then usually you get caught up into it. And like I said, if Athena's in a person that enjoys doing this whole entire thing, and then we're 14 hours into it, it's me to rail her back saying, we spent more than half the day into this. We need to go do something differently on that.
And yeah, I think that's normally you're the one that reminds me of, hey, let's just take a break, or hey, let's go on a boat ride. And those are things that I really appreciate about him, is because sometimes we just need others in our life that remind us that, hey, there's the next level of fun here. And especially when you're dropping into a rabbit hole, like you mentioned.
I think we hit that one pretty good.
Yeah.
This one is trusting your team while you're traveling. I don't think we have a problem with that. Like right now, our team has been really good about communicating things and issues and problems if there is any, and either by text or by voice, or they'll call us, or if it's something super important. So I mean, when we're traveling, we don't have those anymore. I mean, it used to be me checking up on that another time. I'd bring my computer down to the pool, I'd be looking at the grid, I'd be looking at this, I'd be running airline diverts while I was in Thailand, and having my walkie-talkie on my phone, and be able to talk to the team and just trying to run the program. But after we taught a few people how to do it and how everything was going, now I maybe get the phone call, maybe the dispatch does, and then I just kind of divert it over to them and then ask what I can do for help booking hotels or whatever. What can I do to make this process easier for you?
Yeah.
Because it's easier for me to make a few phone calls and make it happen. So, I mean, I think like trusting our team, I think we've mastered that a little bit. I think that there's some issues or problems that come up that we'll coach and help them with through things. But I mean, for the most part, they are in line with what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's another piece that needs to really be a focus, is whoever you have in a supervisor or leadership position, do they align with your values? And at the moment that they're not aligning, then that's something that you need to decide. Is this a season in their life, or is this something that I absolutely need to look at, as this is probably, we're not going to probably be able to move forward. And we have the raise up principles that we run those particular team members through that filter. And when they no longer align in those respects, then they usually, it's time to separate.
You know, I agree with Athena and all that. Like we're more in alignment than we're out of alignment. So when I say that, it's like we're all pointing the arrow in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And if it's veered off 1 or 2 degrees, we're still shooting the same direction. It's not the shotgun approach we're shooting in. We're just hoping we hit something now.
Yes.
I mean, we're more pinpointed.
There is a trajectory, of course. Yes.
In the very beginning, we had people that was used to a rotary phone, then you push the push button, and then all the other new agencies came out, like cordless wireless phones. Things got better, and they got easier to work with, and that's how we want to operate.
Yes.
So Athena, you could definitely talk about systems and support freedom better than I can, but I think we do good in that area.
Well, I think it's really about information exchange. And so when you're having a breakdown with a service failure or there's something that is creating this unintended outcome, there needs to be a process underneath it to prevent it from continuing. And if it continues, then you don't have the right process in place. But then there's also this piece, once you have the process in place, you need to give the team some time to integrate that into the system. And it's not something that you, hey, I told you guys about this. Why aren't we doing it? It's like, well, it's not exactly that simple. They need time to integrate. And then once it's integrated, then you have new people that are coming in. And so the new people are now integrating this. And so there is always this like ebb and flow that's happening within our operation, especially when new stuff comes up. We don't change everything all the time, but we are definitely an innovative, we come from an innovative mindset. We want things to be more simpler. We want things, we embrace automation. We embrace AI technology. And with that, it's constantly changing. And the team has to be able to shift. So if you've got Susie Smith, who is like, well, this is how we've always done it, that person would be out of alignment with BAC principles. Because we don't just do things because we've always done it that way.
This is not the Susie Smith that we know.
Yes.
But we want to just make
sure. Oh, I didn't even connect.
Yeah. You don't want to think that this is Susie or Eric. This is just people using a common name.
Yes.
So I just want to let that know. But
yes. So that is another aspect that you have to decide. Is this good enough? Is the systems that we have in place, are they going to be scalable? Are they going to allow us to jump to the next level? And that's a question that I always asked myself as we were looking to scale is, what new capabilities do we need to gain in order to get to the next place? And what do we need to know about what we're solving currently?
And to let you guys know, and not to pat ourselves on the back, there's technology companies that have used this as beta processes because they know our willingness to try to make things better. And we've come to them with things saying like, this could be much easier if you guys did this and within our industry, and they've been agreed to it, even all the way down to the airport when they were integrating our 4-key system to get inside plus your badge. We would have the airport systems call us and, hey, you're one of the most people on the ramp more than anybody else. Would you guys be willing to be at this program? And we're only going to do it with your vehicles to see how the process works. And the partnership is huge. I mean, like when I tell you the partnership is huge, it's like when you get the Anchorage Airport that calls you up and asks you if you'd beta one of their programs that they're going to set up for the whole entire property. Or we have somebody in our industry that says, hey, this is a really great idea. Would you guys be willing to work with us and show us the kinks in it? That's great because that helps us in our technology. It helps them. And then it creates that partnership that we're always looking for.
Right. And I think the perspective here is that it's not just about you. It's not just about them. It's we're in service to the greater, bigger picture here. And that's something that Charlie does really well with his connection piece, because he comes on as this like this open system of, hey, well, let's just like make this right for this person and make it right for that person. And for some, it's a little overwhelming. It's like, how can you be this genuine? How can you be this sincere about actually like partnering to like make this better for everybody? Because that's who he is.
Imagine if everybody did that. We'd all be in a better place.
We'd be able to solve some serious situations, but that's part of the leadership modeling that aligns with us. Is we don't just show up like that at work. We show up like that with our neighbors. We show up like that with our vendors and our clients. And when they get to kind of like get the feel of actually, it's not just about them. They're not just trying to figure out how they can get more money out of us or how they can work the angle for them. They're actually working to make the system better for everybody. And they kind of relax. And then some, well, hey, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, yeah, that'll save us 800 emails a month. Let's do that. Awesome. Yes. You know, just it's interesting to see how some people, they really have a twitch, and others, once they get a feel of it, they're like, I like this space. Yeah. It feels more genuine. I feel safer.
Just let you know, if you want a fast response from me, text me, don't email me. Just FYI. I respond to texts very quickly. Email, you'd be a couple days.
You know, I don't think you can be a connector and not come from that perspective, though, like a real connector, where you're working to bring people together all the time. It's not a job for you. It's like who you are at your core.
Well, I like connecting people because that's how I got connected with other people. My dad was a connector. My dad was that person too. And I just really enjoyed that thing about him is like he'd have everybody at the table. Whoever didn't have a place to go, they always had a place to go. So I do believe in that. I do a good job in that, not trying to pat myself on the back. Next question. Should you work on a personal trip? Listen, I mean, you own the company and something happens and you have to work a little bit. Your work supported your personal trip. You know, I mean, you have to look at that. Should you have to do it all the time? 100% no. But if something comes up and you have to pop out your laptop on or you have to get on and make a phone call or something like that, yeah, do it. I mean, but again, like I'll have employees that want to work remotely while they're gone and they're in Hawaii. Shut your laptop off. I mean, if you have that much work to do, don't go to Hawaii. Save it for a time that you can go to Hawaii and have more fun and do it when you can enjoy mm-hmm. the place. Because why are you renting this place to sit in a hotel room to work for 8 or 10 hours a day while your spouse is watching you and then you guys have the last 4 or 5 hours of enjoyment? Like, you have to unplug from it. And we don't have a problem plugging anymore. We come back and look at our phones and, hey, we have like 3 missed phone calls or something like this. Or sometimes, in the past, we had let the phone call go and we wouldn't answer it back for 5 or 6 minutes just to see if they could figure out the puzzle. And like anything else, like you don't have food in the house and you don't see something, you're hungry, you'll find food in the house. You'll figure it out. Like there's a cupboard that you haven't ate something out of in like the last 6 months that can of beans might look pretty good if you're hungry. But let them figure the process out. And then once you do that, you call them 5 or 10 minutes later back and say, hey, I just saw I missed your call. What can I say? I'll try to get it all figured out. I'm like, okay, great. Is there anything else I can help? Is there anything you need me to talk about? Nope, we got it. That sounds great. Let me know. I'm there. So sometimes letting them figure out the problem, or if they're like, hey, I have this problem, this is kind of what I was thinking about doing, give them some feedback on it. There's never a bad answer. There's always just better solutions sometimes. And so when I say that, it's like, give them the opportunity of coming up with a solution. And then if it's great, then stay with it. If it sucks, you know, just kind of get past the suck pass and get back to the good pass and say, okay, hey, I can see where you can kind of think this, but what about this? Have you thought all the way through? So, you know, work and personal trips, I don't want to be on work the whole entire time when I'm gone out of town, but when we leave for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, it's unimaginable to think that we won't have to put some time to work or talk to the teams or get in some of the meetings on that too. But we expect that when we leave.
You know, and for me, it's a little bit different of a take. So we do a lot of the leisure stuff, so business and leisure. And that looks like we're in a mastermind group. Well, that group meets certain days of the year. And during that mastermind group, we're there to grow our knowledge, to run our organization stronger, and to build ourselves in order to be stronger leaders. And there might be segments of that, those workshops or seminars that we're in with that mastermind group where our phone is off because we need to really dial in. But then there's other aspects where our phone is on and we're taking a phone call if it comes up. The phone calls aren't every hour. They're not every 2 hours. They're like maybe one or two a day or every other day. It's not this overwhelming, I need to talk to you moments. And so for me, leisure makes a lot of sense because that is my lifestyle, is blending in a little bit of the business and leisure time. And when you're doing leisure and you are meeting the IRS's qualifications for that trip being a write-off, well, guess what? That's even better. So I would say that Charlie and I really do a lot of leisure trips. We will fly for a conference. We'll join the conference. And then we might stay a day or so after and then come back.
Yeah, we just went to that Spain trip and we're going for like 5 days. I'm like, are you kidding? We're going to Spain our first time. We're only going to spend 5 days, but it was the middle of our summer. I mean, it was just like as everything was happening with the house. So I would much rather stay there for 10 or 12 days and actually got to see Spain, but at least we got to see a part of it. Again, like our Hawaii trips, we don't have to spend 7 to 10 days there now. We can go and enjoy it for 5 days. And we did. It's a long travel for it. But again, I believe it. And to bounce off what Athena's idea, I used to have the belief that if those guys were going to make a decision, they had to call me. So we would get those calls like every hour, on the hour, like, and sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, Charlie, what do we do this? And then you finally get that burnout stage. You're like, okay, guys, I mean, you're calling me about what should I do about this? I mean, this is something you guys do on an everyday basis. What would you do? Okay, I just want to check, make sure. Again, if your people are checking in with you that much and that's what's going on, you don't have a leadership team. You have somebody that is basically calling for permission for everything he needs. And there's that one guy that's filing permission. Make sure that he can have some of the power to do some of the things that they want to, or that is in your alignment, that they can make that thing. And if something goes off the rail and it's not 100% alignment, then just have a coaching with them and talk to them and say, hey, why did you come up with that decision? How did you come up with that? And then it might be something that you didn't even have an idea that was happening in the middle of that time. So it changes your perspective of how it happened. But ask them. Just don't assume it automatically. Just, hey, I saw this happen. I saw this incident report. How did we come up with this conclusion?
Yeah. I would say set up some guardrails. Like there was a book that I read a while back that talks about ensuring some of the decision processes. And so, for instance, you have a new leader that you're getting to know. Well, they're allowed to make decisions about this based on their experience, but I'm going to ensure these decisions by having you check in with me until we get to know each other better. And I can see where your head is in some of that thought process. So you can always start small. Even our CSAs, they have a dollar amount that they can credit to a trip without even talking to their manager, because we want to empower everyone to handle the problem before it escalates all the way to us. And don't get me wrong, that wasn't something that was from the beginning. Before it was, we need to know what's happening everywhere. And now it's like we have debriefing meetings.
Yeah, nobody likes to walk into the SS show. And that is the shit show. I mean, nobody likes to walk in unguarded, like you walked into the shit show. Like, why wasn't I not informed about this? It's very rarely we walk into those things. Like if we have an accident with a car or vehicle or somebody's hurt, somebody has to call me and tage me and let me know. So I don't walk into the storm of like, hey, your car got a car wreck today or something like that. Even though it wasn't our fault, how's my team member? How's everything else going? Do we have anything that we need to worry about? So there is some guardrails that I need to be notified on that we have, but there's not a whole lot of them. I
mean, thankfully, there's not wrecks every day. But
no.
But it's more of a support, I think.
When you have 100-plus vehicles on the road and you have 200-plus employees, it's going to happen. What is your process and procedure when that wreck happens? And one of the things is that if it's a fender bender or something happens, one of our vehicles, I got to be text and let know what's going on. So it might be 2 o'clock in the morning and I read it and I leave it alone. But if there's an injury or something like that, I'm going to want to make sure our team member's okay. What can we do to support it? How we can get the family members involved? What can we do to make it right? So again, having that phone call from the owner calling somebody else's wife and say, hey, I understand your son was, or your husband was hit, or your son that works for us was hit. I know it wasn't our fault. It wasn't everything that, what can we do to support you? I mean, that goes a long ways when the owner calls up and talks to the people's parents or loved one or whatever else it is. And we do support, we'll send food. We'll do whatever we have to do. We'll set a manager to go sit by their side, whatever we got to do to make it right. So,
and I think that's an aspect of the process that you personally want to lean into because that's your choice. It's not because you have to. It's important for your team to see that leadership aspect of how are we taking care of each other and why is this important and what's meaningful to the team. And you've identified it's meaningful to others when you step forward and say, hey, you're safe and I've got you. This is the process and how all of this unfolds. And until other leaders underneath you who like fully embody that movement, that's a place that you want to sit in. And that's fine. Like that gets to be your choice. And that is a beautiful way of one of the aspects of Charlie's leadership role that he chooses to own personally. And that's all of our choice. Like we get to pick the end of it.
I agree. Last question on this one for episode 3 is modeling balance for your team. I think we've set some very good examples on how some of that balance was. And there was, I think we've set the examples on the extreme. And I think we've set the ones on the non-extreme. So we have team members that will work themselves into a hole here and we will tell them they have to leave. And like don't make me take your laptop away. I mean, like, we have some very dedicated team members that we have to kick out of town and tell them that they can't work when they're out of town. I mean, so again, I want them to have that work-life balance here too. And then they're the go-between between us. Like, I mean, people come to me with a problem and I'll ask them, because it used to be like my open door was open door, because I always felt that you had an open door policy when we were smaller. But again, did you talk to your manager before you came and talked to me about it? Did you talk to your supervisor, Terry, before you talked to your manager, before you talked to your general manager before it got to my level? I mean, and my level is not so high, but I'm not in the day-to-day business of what's going on the field. So I might be swinging the bat, not even seeing the ball. So I'd rather you talk to somebody that's already dealt with this situation four or five times before I go down and say, hey, what the hell's going on? But we had a person the other day that I have instructed to get a sweatshirt for, and they didn't get the sweatshirt, and it's been 3 or 4 days and it just hasn't happened. And I went up to a team member and said, hey, would you go make this thing happen now? Because it was raining the last 2 days and they didn't have a sweatshirt to wear. And I felt that it was unfair for that to happen. So some things do pass through the cracks, and I'll just go over and ask for something, but it's not very often that I usually get involved with those things. So again, modeling your team, go through the right connections, go through whatever else is going on, and then making sure they get some time off from here. Again, we have some people who are super passionate that want to do the 120-hour-a-week work.
They're drinking
again.
The Kool-Aid, and they're making themselves and a batch.
We love making Kool-Aid for people, but again, we know that Kool-Aid will go stagnant. If you make a 25-gallon bucket of it and expect it to be good for 25 years, it's not going to happen. You've got to get out of here and get the hell out of here. We've bought vacations for people. We've told them to get out of here. We've set them up and going to places here just to do it. And you know, one of the things I'm going to talk about is, like, you know, one of the things we used to do is bonusing people and stuff like that. We still do some bonusing, but what we found is giving them experiences is better. So one of the things that we've done to help our team model the balance like is the places that we go and stay in Hawaii, the places that we would rent cars from, the places that we would do excursions, things like this. We set them up, the airlines that we would take. We embraced on sending our management team. If you were with us, you were no longer within the management team, that we would set up this trip for them. According to how our business went that year. If we had a really good year, we wanted to do something special for them. So last 3 seasons, 4 seasons, we've been sending our people to Hawaii. They stay at the same exact place that we'll stay. They'll stay in the where we rent our cars from. They'll fly in the airlines we do. They'll do all that, and we do it for them and a spouse. And they choose to bring the other family members with them. That place is open for them. So we gave them the experience instead of giving them the cash, which, you know, I mean, cash is great and it pays off bills or a credit card it was what I want to say. It was self-gratifying for that short time. The trips they still talk about, the first trip they went on, they still talk about. Like, we had some people that worked for the Muni that took a trip like this and said that they have never had a trip like that given to them because they were a state or a Muni employee for 25 years. And there was no way the Muni was going to be able to do that. So, I mean, to see them come back for their trip and tell about how they went to the dolphin experience, they went on the whale watching experience, they went on a fishing experience, they went on a drive around the island, or it was their first time ever going to Hawaii. I mean, that was just ridiculous. And they were staying in the same places where they see us taking the pictures at too. So I didn't put them in a smaller hotel or a Motel 6 or something like this and said, hey, here you go and here's your budget. I mean, we really wanted to give them there. On top of that, we paid for their time off while they went too. So again, I didn't want somebody saying, hey, I only had 2 weeks, but I had to spend 6 of it on the place you put me at. Well, everybody seemed like it would be pretty grateful. But again, we gave them that paid time off while they were gone, had them picked up by the car service that we picked up that picks us up, had them take them to the airport and take them back and forth. So modeling the balance way, that's the best way I can say that we modeled something, at least from my side, that we can give them something that we did that we want them to have.
Yeah, and I think what that also did is it shows them what's possible. Because oftentimes, what someone thinks is expensive, they're just in that mindset right now. They would never spend that on themselves because the beliefs that they have around how they were raised or the traditions that they were brought up into or the community that they live in. And so there's this other piece of actually money also can create these beautiful experiences. It doesn't just have to be about paying your bills and surviving. Once you start to move up the ladder, there are all of these possibilities. And I particularly enjoy the conversation when new people who have joined the team and they're like, I've never, ever got to have an experience like this, and I will never forget it. And then they feel like their cup is full. And then they come and they pour from a cup that's overflowing in their family's life, in the community's life, in the team member's life. And that has been something that, that was completely Charlie's idea, but he's a very generous person. So that's, we're not saying that that's for everyone, but you can create experiences where you don't have to ship them out of town.
Give them concert tickets. You can do something small.
Yes.
We see them at, we've seen members at Costco before that we knew that this month might have been a struggle, and we just went up and tapped our Visa on it and paid for their food,
the groceries.
Yeah, their groceries. Just a random thing, and something just called us to go do it. So small things create into big things. It's a pebble that turned into the rock that turned into the stone that all the way down. So there is things that you can model for your employees and just show that there's gratefulness and that we're grateful for them. And for them, it's huge. And it's for us, it's, I think it's, we get more out of it than probably sometimes they do, because we get to give it to them too. So, and there were so many people, again, that gave to us why we do this. So I just want to pay it forward. There are so many people I can tell you in my life that just, I can benchmark those people and just know where my stepping stones were.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, I think we ran through our questions for this episode.
Well, I think we actually ran a little longer on this one too. This was some good questions and some... It was interesting looking at these questions when we were getting them, because I'm like, who's this targeted towards? But, you know, it really does target towards us and some of our team members and some of the other people too. So
absolutely.
I think they were great. So episode 3, season 2, well, thank you for watching.
Yep. And we love to hear from you. So you can go to any of the channels that you receive social media and drop a direct message, or you could go to our website at raiseupmindset.com and send us a message there.
See the Charlie and Athena show.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you. Thank you.
Bye.